live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra, and Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM, also available on myjoyonline.com. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. In the next 60 minutes,
I want the labor and the unions to fight for my rights and to make sure my rights are protected. And for that, there is no question.
You came with your grandmother. What's her condition?
She's having a cardiac enlargement and we need medical attention. That's the reason why we're here.
And then I said, I'm checking me.
It may have been called off, but it was a day of frustration and distress. A strike by organized labor paralyzes operations of many government institutions, including hospitals, schools, and the courts.
The patient, she just fell unconscious and nobody was to attend to her so quickly. The nurse has to rush her to the emergency ward. So we are pleading.
Some like us as now, we are not working. The orderlies, admin managers, and more chatting up. I think we are more.
Plus, NATE's Director General says calls for his removal and dissolution of the board over the attempt to sell the trust stake in some four hotels is unfair.
If you have a fiduciary duty to improve performance, do not try to do something about it. Is that the real cardinal sin in looking to improve the performance of underperforming assets? I don't think that is wrong.
Also tonight, dengue fever cases increase less than 48 hours after the first 9 cases were reported in the eastern region as the Ghana Health Service races to test over 200 samples for the fever.
A total of 11 cases have been confirmed by the Noguchi Memorial Institute for Medical Research. The region is expecting a feedback for 57 more samples that are being worked on.
I take you live to the region and also head to the Upper West region, where the Regional Security Council is alarmed and shocked. The security strategies, including beefing up of armed personnel on the ground, has failed in tracking down perpetrators of war killings, which is now 17 in 3 years.
We have designed a way of catching these people, whoever is doing this. And so for this to happen at dawn, we are very, very surprised.
And I'm avoiding delays in finalizing deal with external creditors before December elections may pose some risk to the economy.
And in sports, Ghanaian athletes demand the settlement of unpaid allowances as Team Ghana continues preparations for the Olympic Games set to begin in 10 days.
I'll take you to Parliament also, where there's a justification on the new LI which allows MPs, ministers and judges to drive without speed limits and use sirens as well. We have our thirsty communities tonight. We'll take you to the Kasina Nankana West District of the Upper East Region, where despite interventions by government, residents still travel long distances to fetch water from unreliable sources.
We used to walk across streets and rivers to get water. And even our children, when they are to go to school, they have to also walk about 5 kilometers to get water and come and bath.
Plus, all you missed are the second EcoBank, Joy News Habitat Fair mini clinic that happened in Tema. That and more in tonight's edition of Newsnight. Do all to join us with your thoughts, your comments is via WhatsApp 055-1111-997. We are live on X Spaces. You can leave your comments there also with the hashtag Newsnight. I am Emefa Apau. Details shortly. Many thanks for your company. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. And we'll start off from the Labour front, exactly where my colleague Samuel Kojo-Brace left off on Top Story. And frustration and distress characterised the atmosphere in many government institutions as a strike by organised labour took a heavy toll on the operations of the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital. Well, we know the courts, the ministries and many other government institutions were affected. Well, there was full compliance as the workers vowed not to work until they heard from their leadership. And of course, they heard from their leadership later in the day. Well, but even though the strike has been called off, there was pain and anguish for persons who had reported, especially to the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital, as doctors and nurses were not attending to OPD cases. We'll start there, where my colleague Nana Buachi Dankwa Iyadom monitored the situation before organized labor called off the action.
Here at the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital, some of these patients who are seeking out patient department services are stranded. They are left desperate. Many of them who traveled to seek these services would have to wait for some time. the nurses are taking their vitals, but then doctors are currently not here or not available to attend to these patients.
I came around 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m. this morning. Yeah. And what has been the situation? Have they attended to you or anything whatsoever?
The patient I came with, they've taken our vitals, but they are saying there's no doctor to attend to. So we are still waiting. Whether the doctors will come and attend to us. It's not. It shouldn't be like that. Normally, by 9, the doctors should be around and be taking care of us. But since this morning, around 8, we've not seen any doctor coming to take care of us. A certain patient was around, was here, and it's so bad. The patient has to, she just fell unconscious and nobody was to attend to her so quickly. The nurse has to rush her to the emergency ward. So we are pleading that they should please consider us, we the patients, and come and take care of us for us.
Many of these patients are here. They are stranded. They are desperate. They want the nurses or even the doctors to attend to them. Some of them are in critical condition. We would not be able to go beyond where we are right now.
Bianca, she, Bianca, so, and once our motions are, who be sans a nest for non cashe, omse, and penny for neighbor, ombe, bombe, banso, who be am.
And so she's also a patient. She tells us that she came here earlier, but then the doctors are not around to attend to her. The nurses took her vitals, but then they've not referred her to a doctor yet. She's pleading with the doctors to call off the strike, and even to UC to call off the strike so that these doctors can come to work. And
okay, my mama my card. I said, boy love you. Yeah, about.
Mama, my card. Say a boy love you now.
A boy love you.
Nenzo so no. Si se omonsheo. So he says that when he came earlier, he engaged with the nurses here. They took his vitals. They told him that he should wait for some time because his condition is very critical. He should wait for some time. They would attend to him. And that's the situation here at the Komfanochi Teaching Hospital.
And now it's my colleague Nana Buachi Dankwa Yadom's interaction with some patients, those who patronize the Komfanochi Teaching Hospital. And Joy News checks also at the court complex here in Accra, reveal that workers did not show up at work today. Those who did left for home very early, leaving many people frustrated. Maxwell Agbagba monitored the strike at the court. He also then went to the Kolebu Teaching Hospital plus the Mamprobi Polyclinic before it was called off. Here's his report.
The strike by the Judicial Service Association of Ghana has crippled business here at this court complex, as a lot of people who came here today for court hearings are going back home. Even the workers here are not staying back. We can hear from some of the frustrated people we've been speaking to here.
I've been here 2 hours ago, so we're supposed to have court this morning. So when we came, they told their court to not be sitting due to their strike. So we asked to go back here. So they didn't tell us when to come back. So it's a further notice.
So I didn't hear anything from my lawyer. That's why I came this morning. I didn't see nothing. Court is going on. I don't see anybody there.
I've also been speaking to a legal practitioner, Samuel Andrews, who is unhappy about the situation here. He has been speaking to some of his clients, urging them to come back to the courts tomorrow.
And if it continues, people would have lost a lot. There are people who are seeking injunctions, restraining others from doing something. On account of this, they cannot be heard in court. Certain processes in court will have to be enforced on account of the strike. In fact, to put it bluntly, during this time, we have practically a state of lawlessness. I had a hearing today. We now have to reschedule. My clients, for example, were asking me when the next court date would have been.
Here at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, doctors and nurses are attending to some OPD patients. Sources tell me that because the Kolebu Teaching Hospital is a referral center, it is difficult to turn away people, especially who have come from very far places to this facility. I've been speaking to the president and the chairman of the Health Services Workers Union here at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, Caesar Bauer. Caesar Bauer tells me that his members, including mortuary attendants, are on strike.
Some, like as of now, we are not working. So as of now, the orderlies, lift operators, admin managers, administrators, lab technologists, lab technician, X-ray technician, stores assistant, and mortuary attendant, I think we are more. So when you go around, you see that they are not working.
Here at the Mamprobi Polyclinic, doctors and nurses are not attending to OPD cases in compliance with the directive from organized labor. Some patients who are reported here earlier to this facility are frustrated.
That's Maxwell Agbagba's report from the Mamprobi Polyclinic, Kolebu Teaching Hospital, and of course, the court complex. Well, my colleague Kenneth Jesse also monitored the situation at the ministries. Listen.
Truly, they've kept to their words of not coming to work today. Today at the Education Ministry, few people decide, you know, we have a cluster of ministries here. You have the Ministry of Education, you have the Ministry of Youth and Sports, the Ministry of the Interior over there. Also, you have the Ministry of Rural Development. All of them are saying they are complying with the directive not to come to work. Earlier, we went to the Greater Accra Regional Hospital, popularly known as RIDGE, where the outpatient department is also on strike. We saw lots of patients there stranded, not knowing what to do, waiting on the nurses and doctors to turn up, but nobody was turning up. As I've mentioned earlier, we are at the Education Ministry. We have a lady here who is a concerned citizen who wants to share a few thoughts with us.
So obviously, as somebody who works in organized labor, I want the labor and the unions to fight for my rights and to make sure my rights are protected. And for that, there is no question. What concerns me, though, is that we are now mixing various things with different things that I am not quite sure of how things work here.
Well, that's my colleague Kenneth Jesse's report. Well, a huge sigh of relief can be sighed this evening, depending on where you stand, as normalcy returns to the country starting tomorrow. So that was the situation today in parts of the country that we visited following that labor strike. Well, we've been hearing from UTAG, amongst others. Well, they earlier had a position on the fact that the board and the director general of SNET should be made to resign. Well, labor also held a press conference at this afternoon, like I've been telling you. And of course, they've called off the action tomorrow. All workers are expected to go back to work. The strike is off, but they have a 1 month timeline given to SNET in terms of what should happen. Some changes they want to see. You've been hearing from Nale Adefio there on Top Story, mentioning that indeed the way workers retire, amongst others, should be looked at. And of course, Joy News will be bringing you a dialogue on this particular situation, the pensions situation. Will bring all stakeholders on board to be able to talk about what the way forward actually should be. We've been hearing also from the embattled Director General of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, Kofi Osafumafo, and he's described as unfair the calls on him and his management to resign over their handling of processes to sell off some stake in four underperforming hotels. Listen.
The problem is we have pension fund assets. That is people's money. And again, I wouldn't say other people's money. It's people's money, workers' money. If you have a fiduciary duty to improve performance, would you not try to do something about it? Is that the real cardinal sin in looking to improve the performance of underperforming assets? I don't think that is wrong. And again, I think UTAG, it's universities. So let's talk about how one would manage a portfolio. You cannot manage a portfolio without doing anything. Something has to be done. We just have differences in opinion in how we arrive there. And that in itself is healthy because it means that we engage all stakeholders and we come to a solution. I don't think that it is ever possible that everyone would have the same solution in mind for a problem. Some people philosophically are even opposed to the simple fact that private investors are being brought in. You can never change their minds. Again, when we look at that and we look at the operational improvements that have been brought in, benefits processing times at about a third of what they are, the efficiency of the SNIT operations being much better, we improve the portfolio because of that. The university teachers think that that is the wrong procedure. I think that is not fair enough.
Well, he tells my colleague Elton Brobe that he will engage all interested parties on the best way forward in terms of how or whether or not to sell off these hotels.
We are going to go back to the drawing board. The rationale at the time of lotting these hotels, and we lotted them with those in Accra, i.e. Labadi and La Palm being lot one, lot two being the Cape Coast hotels, i.e. Elmina and Ridge Royal, and lot three being the hotels in the Western region. We've come to this point. We will go back and re-examine it. And again, as I said, this is an issue of stakeholder engagement. We've terminated the process. The stakeholders and ourselves will then sit down and we would see how we progress. I think that in the heat of things currently, it would be wrong for me to suggest openly my thoughts, because that in itself could also go and raise other issues about, hey, he's thought of doing this again and he's doing this and he's doing that. No. Let's go back to the drawing board when we have a trauma environment, and then we will engage our stakeholders, arrive at a solution. I think what is important is that the status quo is not acceptable. The poor performance is not acceptable.
That's Director General of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNET, Kofi Osafo-Mafo. And if you do not know, you have to go to work tomorrow. Labour has called off that action. Let's turn our attention to health now. And in the Eastern Region Health Directorate there, they've recorded more positive cases of dengue fever. Well, dengue fever is a mosquito-borne viral infection prevalent in tropical and subtropical regions. Well, caused by the dengue virus, it leads to high fever, severe headache, joint and muscle pain, rash and mild bleeding. You have any of these symptoms, it's a good time to go to the nearest hospital for immediate attention. While most cases are mild, severe dengue can be life-threatening. Well, Ghana Health Service on Sunday issued an alert following the detection of 9 cases in 5 districts in the Eastern Region alone. In a matter of days, the health directorate says it has confirmed more cases. Eastern Regional Correspondent Kofi Siang has been on that beat for us, and he joins us on the line. Kofi, so we know the Regional Health Directorate just concluded a meeting, and they've been addressing the media on this. What really has come up?
Okay, so MFA, the Regional Health Directorate in that meeting with the media confirmed that they have recorded additional 2 cases to add up to the 9. So, you know, 11 of the cases have been confirmed so far from samples that were sent to Noguchi Memorial Research Center in Kumasi.
The Eastern Region is currently managing an outbreak of dengue fever in 5 districts. The districts are Achanse, Achimansa, Birim Central, Birim South, and Birim North. A total of 11 cases have been confirmed by the Noguchi Memorial Institute for Medical Research. The region is expecting a feedback for 57 more samples that are being worked on.
Well, Kofi, you've also been interacting with some residents on this, but before then, he tells you about tracing that is being done currently. How many samples really have they taken so far, and what are we looking at?
Okay, what Dr. Winfred Ofosu said is that they've so far taken about 103 samples of, you know, people they suspect to have the virus. So they have taken these samples and sent them to the appropriate research center for investigation to be conducted on them.
The region currently is managing about 193 suspected cases. So I'm sure many of you have information. Initially it was 9. Some tests have been done again and 2 are positive. So that's why it's come to 11. And like you said, there's still a backlog of tests that are being run at Noguchi. So the likelihood of this number increasing as the day come by is high.
Well, Kofi, you can also tell us what residents have been saying. Is there a state of fear, state of panic? What exactly have they been telling you?
Okay, so in the afternoon, I told you they confirmed to me that they heard about the news in the media, both social and traditional media. So they are only waiting on the Ghana Health Service, even though they've heard there is no cure, to, you know, come up with the safety precautions so that they can all adhere to in order to protect themselves from the virus.
I learned the Ghana Health Service has put in place in collaboration with the National Emergency Team to put outline strategies. And in my readings, I realized there is no known cure, but the patient is supposed to stay hydrated and live a healthy lifestyle and also prevent mosquitoes bite. I'm scared because of the weather, a lot of people are also developing symptoms of malaria. But the only thing that gives me joy is it is not transmitted from persons to persons, but it is only through mosquitoes and it is not contagious.
Well, so a resident there interacting with my colleague Kofi Siang on the situation and his knowledge about the dengue fever. I think it's a good time for you to also apprise yourself in terms of what you should look out for when it comes to the dengue fever. It's in the Eastern region now, but let's head there and speak to the Deputy Eastern Regional Health Director, Dr. John Ekotu. Many thanks for your company here on Newsnight. So listening to that press conference and that happened a while ago, I hear that there's a backlog. You still have some samples that are with Noguchi now, and 103 samples so far that you have. You've had 11 cases. Do we have the entire results for the 103 samples, just for clarity?
Okay, so yeah, good evening, and thanks for inviting me to the conversation. So the 103 are people the region has suspected so far. That, and once we suspect, we take samples to confirm. So of the 103, we have received samples for 56, okay, of which 11 are positive, okay. So we are waiting for results for the remaining samples. Yeah, but again, we are not. Once we suspect you, we just go ahead to manage, you know. We follow you to make sure you are well, because all persons whom we suspect are persons who fit a specific case definition. So we're not leaving anyone behind. Yeah.
Well, so at what point do I become a suspect? Because I'm told that many of these patients or samples that you took, they were being treated for malaria for a very long time before it graduated to this level. So how do I know if I'm a suspect? If I've been to any of these five districts, we'll talk about the district itself. How do I know that I'm a suspect?
Good. So the presentation of dengue fever is just like malaria, except that the muscle pains are quite intense than malaria. The headache can be quite intense, and the disease is prolonged than malaria. So we're expecting that once someone is treated for malaria and the third day the person is not well, the person should be investigated for dengue fever and to proven otherwise. Okay. But again, for the communities that we now know that there's transmission going on, the case definition for a suspected case is anyone showing febrile illnesses within 2 to 7 days with specific signs of myalgia, that's muscle pain, mm-hmm. Joint pains, rashes, and any sign of bleeding from the gums, the nostrils, or the mucosal surfaces. And if the person has done labs and we're able to see a drastic fall in the white blood cell count, okay, we suspect you to be dengue fever until proven otherwise.
Okay, so if let's talk about the five districts that you've confirmed cases of this dengue fever so far. Which districts are we looking at? And if I've been to any of these districts, what should I do?
Good. So the districts are Achiase, Achimansa, Bim North, Bim South, and Bim Central. If the 11 positive cases are from Achiase, Achimansa, Bim South, and Bim Central, we are yet to receive the feedback from samples we collected from Bim North. Yeah.
Well, so if I've been to any of these, Achiasi, Achimansa, Brim North, South and Central, is there anything in particular I ought to do?
Yes, so once you've been to these districts and you are experiencing symptoms, i.e. fever, general malaise, headache, vomiting, abdominal, any symptom that looks like malaria, we advise you to get close to the nearest health facility and let the health workers know that you spend a number of days in these communities and you hear that there's dengue, so you are reporting themselves. The health workers know what to do. I heard my brother said earlier, the management is mainly supportive. So the clinicians will look out for any other conditions that has the potential of worsening your case if you have dengue and manage you. Then we encourage you to take a lot of fluids, eat very well, have good rest, so the body can fight it. There's the potential for it to get serious, and that is where you may need inpatient management, where we may have to do some IV infusions and other. If your blood is you can have anemia, drastic anemia because of a fall or hemolysis of the red blood cells, then you may need to be transfused if possible.
Well,
so it's important you get close to the health facility.
Okay. Dr. Otu, so we have 11 cases now. I know you're expecting more positive cases. Is it a situation that the Ghana Health Service has under control?
Yes. So far, we are very well on top of the situation. Currently, in all the districts, and in fact, the whole region, but with specific focus on the district infected, we are ramping up our social mobilization risk communication with the intention of getting everybody to know that we have dengue in the district and this is how it presents. And when you have signs and symptoms, it's important to get closer to a health facility. Again, we've set up our health teams to, we've oriented them on exactly what they should do so that everybody who presents with signs and symptoms, we don't miss it. And we'll be able to give them the best of care. We've provided them with the basic logistics so that they'll be able to manage very well. Headquarters is making plans to add on to logistics so that we'll be well secured too. Because
you may be putting all this in place, but the source really is that mosquito that we all ought to fear. Really, how are we preventing that?
Yes, so that's the biggest challenge because now the rainy seasons are here. The mosquitoes, the environment influences the mosquitoes. So as part of our education to the community, we are also informing them that it's important they put in all measures to prevent mosquito bites, both at the personal level and in the community. We've engaged the chiefs, we've engaged the assembly, we've engaged opinion leaders, and dedication is ongoing. We had meetings with assembly to explore the possibility of expanding the indoor residual spraying that is ongoing. But largely, if you talk to the people, they are being bitten more in the farms. You know, these areas are farming communities. So we are largely stressing on they wearing protective clothing and using insecticide and insect repellent as much as possible. Then we are stressing on the management of the environment, weeding, managing of refuse dams, covering of water receptacles, and taking care of all breeding sites, areas that mosquitoes can breed near the homes, so that we reduce the mosquito population as much as possible.
We are grateful. That's Dr. John Eko Otu, Deputy Eastern Regional Director, Health Director there, talking to us about the dengue situation in the Eastern region. Now the number of cases, 11. It tells you why you need holy insecticide spray and quail for your protection at this point. But just before we go for business, let's do thirsty communities. And water scarcity has been a persistent issue in some communities in the Kasina Nankana West District of the Upper Upper East region. Well, that's despite interventions over the years from government and charity organizations. Residents in some communities in the area often travel long distances to fetch water from unreliable sources. So in a joint effort to alleviate the plight of the people, Engage Now Africa and the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints have constructed mechanized boreholes in five communities in the area. Correspondent Albert Sori has more.
Rural communities in the Katsina Nankana West district of the Upper East region are typically scattered settlements, as most of the lands are reserved for farming. Sometimes the landscapes stretch as far as the eye can see, and with just about one reliable source of water supply for the hundreds or even thousands of residents living in these communities, some have to walk the long distance to get water. Those who cannot make the journey must resort to other sources such as shallow wells, dugouts, and rivers to get water.
We used to walk across streets and rivers to get water. And even our children, when they are to go to school, they have to also walk about 5 kilometers to get water and come and bath and go to school.
In the dry seasons, even some of the boreholes constructed by the government fail to provide water because there is usually none underground due to the extremely hot temperatures. The district chief executive for Katsina Nankana West, Gerard Atauje, describes the situation as challenging.
The water table is very poor. If I tell you the interventions that government has done in the water sector in the district, you marvel. A lot has been done, but we could not cover everything in the district. We have a very large district.
Some help has, however, arrived as community development NGO Engage Now Africa, in partnership with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has constructed mechanized boreholes equipped with solar-powered pumps and storage tanks for five areas in the Katsina Nankana West District. The beneficiary areas include Mayoro, Yua, Gumango, Kafania Adonia, and Mirigu Pungubisi. Thousands of people in these communities can now access clean and safe drinking water. Cecilia Amankwa is the Africa Director for Engage Now Africa.
We brought it here for you so that your children will be able to come early, fresh water, take their shower and go to school. We want your children to go to school early. We don't want them to be tired going to school and not be able to learn. Do not deny your children of education.
The communities are ecstatic about their new boreholes. For Joy News, Albert Sori, Katsina Nankana West District.
Albert Sori with our Thirsty Community Series for today, bringing us to Time for Business. George Riafi is here. Hello, George.
Hi, my friend. The bit that excites me is the fact that he says we should drink a lot of water and
keep
rest.
Keep hydrated.
You know, those are the natural.
The hydration we can do, but it's the rest that's the problem.
Well, coming up in business, IMF warns delays in finalizing deal with external creditors before December elections could pose some risk to the economy. And Citi's rate of depreciation against the dollar slowed significantly on market as it shows signs of responding to recent developments in the economy. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Interstangs, and Pepsodent, Herbal, and Charcoal.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom.
Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Oma.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Oma.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Kweku, have you heard what they are doing on MTN?
Joboy! Yeah. We have a new leader in town, Obiarenti. I'm a for me don't want to be when you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mama lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Hey. Introducing the new President Charcoal Pack with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Coma and Nanfufua, a dialing *712# and found no regrets. A side coma investors are a striking goal. A coma health workers are a diagnosing lack with precision. A side coma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. They say a coma passionate farmer or also ain't even containing a joy. A fake to the seamstresser or turning a hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a coma, if you say your next big win is right here.
*712#.
Dial *712# and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial *712# to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the IMF is warning that delays in finalizing the debt restructuring deal with external creditors before the December elections could pose some risk to the economy. This concern was captured in the latest IMF staff report release after the fund passed Ghana on the second review. There is more in this report.
Ghana recently reached a deal with the bilateral creditors and also an agreement in principle with the Eurobond holders. Together, Government of Ghana owes about $18 billion to these creditors. The bilateral creditors' debts is about $5.1 billion, and the Eurobond holders is pegged at $13.1 billion. Government is yet to finalize that of the commercial bilateral creditors. The IMF is worried that if Ghana is not able to sign an agreement with these creditors before the close of this year, then that will not be good for the economy and programs aimed at stabilizing the overall health of the economy. There are fears that a new administration taking over in 2025 could push for fresh negotiations with Ghana, and that could not be good in terms of the timelines that the country should finalize a deal with these creditors. There are concerns that delays could also affect the local currency going forward.
And that is a business desk report. Now, the Finance Ministry has accepted the proposed July 23, 2024 deed for the presentation of the media budget review. The Ministry had earlier wanted Wednesday, July 24, 2024. It however appears that it is not working with what Parliament has proposed. Government is currently finalising engagement with some industry players on their inputs. The Ghana cedi's rate of depreciation continued to slow significantly against the US dollar, the local currency, which was trading around 16 Ghana cedis 2 weeks ago. It has now slowed to 15 Ghana cedis, 52 pesos. Some market analysts are linking it to the recent development in the economy. But currency analyst Courage Boti thinks that unless government finally signs agreement with the external creditors, the much-talked power stability could elude us.
Actual inflows and outflows will determine the dynamics of the cedi. So I see probably some correction, but probably not very significantly. And that will happen a lot when we complete the debt exchange eventually and sentiments are fully restored. There is the increasing sense that there will be debt sustainability going forward. As it stands now, we are on the way there, but we've not completed that. And it is when I believe that is complete that you begin to see some offshore interest gradually trickle back into the local economy. That is where the actual FX boost will come from. But at the moment, all the things we're talking about savings are not cash flows, and they won't impact the demand-supply dynamics directly. What it will do is affect sentiment, and that is what is resulting in the stability. I expect more of that stability from now until the exchange is complete.
Courage Boti's lead research person at GCB Capital. Now, chairman of Tropical Cables and Conductors, Dr. Otunjesi, is pushing for the legislative instrument before Parliament to be withdrawn for further consultation when it comes to pricing of cement products. Now, this is coming at a time when the instrument has been laid in Parliament and should be law very soon. Dr. Otunjesi warns that the bill in its current form could hurt a lot of manufacturing firms.
It is a dangerous path to start going on. And I think that it is time for the manufacturers and the ministry to sit down and let us look at a more market-friendly solution. I think that in the interest of the whole nation, in the sense that nobody wants excessive pricing, at the same time, we don't want to get into a price control regime, you know. I would agree that maybe it's time to ask for a ceasefire, withdraw the LI, and let's look at it.
Chairman of Tropical Cables and Conductors, Dr. Otunjesi. Now, Carbank has recorded some significant turnaround in its operations for the first 6 months of this year. The bank posted some strong growth in all areas of operations of business. Now, this was captured in its half-year numbers released to investors today. The bank ended the first 6 months of the year with a profit after tax of 158 million Ghana cedis, representing almost 50% jump from what it posted last year. According to Carbank, it has now emerged stronger despite the challenging economic environment and impairments taken for last year. Now, the power supply has improved greatly for most manufacturing firms in the country. Development has forced these firms to abandon planned layoff and scaling down their operations. Now, speaking to Joy Business President of the Association of Ghana Industries, Dr. Humphrey Yimdake wanted the situation to stabilize going forward.
For the last 4 months, reasonably, we've seen some stability, but as you do statistical analysis, you seek to do this average over a period so that you can restore confidence fully or reasonably above 60 to 70%. So I've indicated that yes, the power stability has been reasonable within the last 4 or 5 months. I will pray that that stability goes beyond a year, and then the businessman or the industrialist can have significant assurance to say there's full restoration in the reliability of power.
Dr. Humphrey Yimdake is the president of the Association of Ghana Industries. Let's turn our attention to the stock market. And if you had invested on the Ghana Stock Exchange from the beginning of the year to now, returns now stands at more than 30%. Now that is still better than what you had gotten on your treasury bills and other investment instruments on the market. And that's all for Business on Newsnight.
Thank you very much, George. Have a good evening. Let's do some of your messages. Sena Hateka says, in fact, the NPP government must know that selling of estate properties will not help them to fix the bad economy in the country. Comrade Issa Tamimu Boko says, Kofi Osafumafo's dismissal of calls for his resignation as unfair is arrogance. He says, it's clear that he and his cabal at SNIT are determined to push forward with the sale of the hotels despite opposition by Ghanaians. Kwesi Inkaswa says, if the director general says people's assets, then why didn't he engage the people in the sale of their assets, given that he is the manager? That's Kwesi Inkaswa's message. We have this one says, the board of directors of SNIT must resign immediately. And that's Kofi Protocol is, or whose message is this? Okay, there's no name to that message. And this one from Gusty Man in Brekum says, how on earth will this ally bring any economic benefits to Ghanaians? The MPs must be innovative and think creatively about the citizens and stop this situation. And Musa Abatwa in Aswasi says, organized labor's decision to issue a one-month ultimatum to SNET to resolve workers' pension issues is a commendable step towards ensuring accountability and justice for workers. This proactive stance demonstrates a strong commitment to protecting the rights and future of employees. That's your message, Musa Abatwa. Many thanks for your message. A number of your messages that you've sent, we'll get to go through them. I see one from Nana Ekuyamua Boating, and he is raising concerns. Okay, I'll go all the way down. It says, the organized labor should be circumspect in their request. They requested that the sale of that hotel should be halted, and they have succeeded in that request, so they shouldn't be seen to be deviating from their initial position by introducing another issue. That's Nana Ekuyamua Boating, Ablekuma Central, your message. And this one says, just laughing in my head, the labor union leaders are just joking with NPP government in this selling of 60% shares in the four hotels. NPP government will in the coming days come with another company and buy these hotels, even as some of their leaders will be bought with money. Okay, so that's Francis Accra. Some of your messages. Let me take you to the Upper West region now. It's a rather disturbing situation there, and the Security Council itself says it's alarmed and shocked that security strategies put in place has failed in tracking down perpetrators of the war killings. While this follows a growing sense of fear and panic at Dobolé, a suburb of Wa in the Upper West region, following the gruesome murder of a middle-aged driver in the area. We must caution you. He's actually a driver's mate. We must caution you on this next line, because deceased Opoku Richard was found dead with his throat cut at the back of a trailer loaded with thousands of tons of salt that he accompanied to the region. The murder of Opoku Richard brings the number of persons killed in the municipality to 17 in the last 3 years alone. Some of the residents have been speaking to Joy News.
Just yesterday, I was called by a group of young people who said they tracked down some people who they didn't know. They were unable to speak our local language. They couldn't speak English. And they were in some school block, and they got them. And they told me they called the police several times for nearly 2 hours. Nobody came there. So they called me to see if I could get the police to come. I called the police, and they went there. Now, what it is that I will do is to ask the people to do what they can. If the police is not doing what they should be doing, and the people begin to act the way they should act to get them in a manner that they think is the right thing, I don't know whether that is going to help, but very likely it's going to destroy more than we imagine. So I will urge the security to step up its duty and responsibility to introduce more sophistication in the search for the people, to go more, deeper into what they are doing, and to come out with concrete results. Because when the people go out to take the law by themselves into their own hands, then you can't control them.
Right.
I mean, it's painful that you see these things happening and you don't see the people.
So that's the WA Central MP, Rashid Pelpo, and earlier he offered 100,000 cedis bounty to anyone who could volunteer information on the killers, and is asking the police to step up its efforts in unraveling the mystery. We can hear from a resident who witnessed the incident or was at the scene after the body was found.
I was surprised about what happened this morning. If you see the youth of Duri, they are very sad concerning what happens. And then what you will say is, nowadays we are always scared. Just like when you are sleeping, you don't even know when they will come to your room and then bring you out. If you look at the incident that just happened, the person was outside and then there's a room closer to where the person is. So nobody can tell. They could have even go inside and then bring the one who is inside. So looking at the situation, we are very scared. And then we don't know what might happen again. Just like our honorable assembly member said, if you look at the previous days, let's say Saturday, there was a demonstration. And then this thing happens today. So what we are doing, we are pleading with the elders of WA to just come to our aid to help us move away from this happening.
So that's a resident in that interaction with us. Well, we can hear from the chairman of the Upper West Regional Security Council. He's also the minister for the region, Stephen Yakubu, asking residents to be vigilant and join the manhunt for the suspected killers.
Very, very shocked and surprised, because we have put a lot on the ground, a lot of security men on the ground, patrolling both police and soldiers. And we have designed a way of catching these people, whoever is doing this. And so for this to happen at dawn, we are very, very surprised. And we will continue to plead that information should be given to the police. Our understanding is that the car came yesterday around 5 o'clock. How did people get to know that the car was sleeping here? How did anyone got to know that there was someone who didn't actually sleep in the car and was sleeping in the veranda? All this information, of course, the police want to know.
That's the regional minister for the Upper West, and that's Stephen Yakubu. Thankfully, we have the MCE for WA, Tahiru Isahaku Mumin. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. One wonders, at least, is now 17 in 3 years. I don't know. That's the numbers that we know as we speak. But what's the status of the previous investigations, though? Are you able to tell?
Well, thank you very much. You've just spoken to my boss, the regional minister, the chairman of the Regional Security Council, for which I'm also a member. We would not have had anything to do differently from what RecTech is doing, because fortunately the municipality is found within the jurisdiction of the Regional Security Council. So this issue is handled jointly by the MUSEC and the RecTech. So therefore, the issues outlined by the regional minister are what we are all hammering on. Mm. But of course, there are some arrangements being put in place. And I know the Regional Security Council has been briefed and informed by their officers in charge of security within the municipality. And of course, this afternoon when we met at the Regional Security Council, the Honorable Regional Minister sought to find out from the regional security heads what has been the situation so far with regards to the happening. How far have they gone with the issues that are in court and the investigations that they are carrying on, the lead information that was given to the security heads, what has been the report.
And but really, the details is what your boss, like you referred to, did not give, in terms of whether we are making any headway at all in actually apprehending some of these those behind this killing, is what we are asking for.
Yes. Let me make it very clear that this is a coordinated crime, and the perpetrators, they have their way of operation, And if you look at the way they operate, it is not uniform. The operation is not uniform. And then what we usually find in the bodies of the victims are not also the same. You remember the previous ones, they take the body parts away. But in the recent ones, you see the bodies, no body part is taken, apart from the person being slaughtered or killed that way. No, you won't see any part of the person being taken away. So that's sick to kind of like confuse people with regards to what is the, the motive behind the killing. I know sometimes the motive behind the killing also give leads as to how and the target the security officers will go after. But once the situations are not the same, so it means that there has to be a lot of, you know, arrangements, you know, looking at where to go and how to go about it. So right now as we speak, in fact, there's another some arrangements again this afternoon, you know, and tomorrow there's going to be another meeting with regards to the lead information that people are picking. So the people that are noted to be called tomorrow, I think the information they'll pick from them will help the security agencies to look at what to do next.
Okay. We are grateful. That's the MC for WA, Tahiru Isahaku Mumin. Let's do sports.
Yeah, I didn't come home, but it's fine. But just some 10 days to the Olympic Games, the Ghana's top track and field stars are raising their voices, urging the Ministry of Youth and Sports to clear the outstanding allowances ahead of the upcoming games. Now, some of the athletes have been speaking on the condition of anonymity to graphic sports, and we've got some of their statement for you here where they're demanding for these monies to be paid. My colleague, Ashley, is here for some updates. Some of those statements. Actually, what have they been saying on the allowances that they're asking to be paid them?
Well, this is quote here. He says that this issue is becoming prevalent. We were paid per diem during the African Games last June, but we haven't received any allowance for competing in the African Athletics Championship.
Yeah.
We have returned home empty-handed with bills to pay, especially those of us living abroad. So that's one of the athletes they're complaining bitterly about the situation.
Yeah. Well, we understand also that the president of Ghana Athletics, Fuseni Bawa, has acknowledged the delay in payment and has made some assurances. What has he been saying to?
Well, first of all, they've also been talking about the money and the currency in which they receive that.
Yes,
that
coach
says that we don't have Citibank accounts. Receiving checks in the local currency creates problems. We need to authorize family members to handle the checks, convert the money, and send it to us. By the time we get it, we lose a lot due to transfers and bank charges. Then, on the specific statement of the president of the...
the Ghana Athletics, Fuseni Bawa.
He tells us that, well, yes, there are outstanding allowances. I explained to the International Games Committee of the Ministry that bonuses for medals at the African Championship, Athletics Championship, should be treated like those of AFCON. We are pushing for bonuses as requested in our AAC budget.
Yeah, so that's the concerns from the Team Ghana there. Well, the tournament itself starts on July 26th. That's it for sports.
Thank you very much, Musbah. We'll catch you on the Joy News channel shortly. And just before we head out, it was exciting weekend for most of us. If you were at Tema, the second mini clinic of the Ecobank Joy News Habitat Fair took place. It was a three-day event. It saw exhibitors giving away exciting packages. My colleague Ebenezer Sabute was there, interacted with some of them.
For this fair, we are giving a discount of 10% to all on all our prices for our clients. And we're here from Friday and we are still here.
Okay, there's been a steady stream of people coming here, yes, to make inquiries. I think we've had quite a number, yes.
So Libby Homes, what are you into? What do you do?
So we are a premium real estate developing company. Yes, we build and sell. Yes, currently we have three products on the market. We have apartments at Airport Residential. We have villas at cantonments, and we have townhomes at Tema Community 26. Sure, we have some discounts that we are going to give out to people who are going to purchase. You kindly come here, speak to us, and then we are going to disclose that to you.
Here is DPS Pipes and Plastics. Let's welcome you into our booth. So basically,
walk us through.
Yeah, basically we are into manufacturing of PVC, HDPE, PPL pipes as well. So we have the rain gutter, we have the roofing sheets, TNG ceiling. So basically, we've been doing this manufacturing for over the past 9 years, and we have outlets all over the country. So yeah, that's what we've been up to here.
But as part of the Habitat Fair, what offers do you have? Or do you have any offers at all?
Actually, we have up to 15% discount to offer customers who come through.
Global Lighting, we are actually known for best quality project lighting, from spotlights, switches, sockets, cables, everything about lighting. And now our new consignment has distribution boards, so we have very special discount for those who come here.
I understand that times are hard right now, so it's imperative to go for quality off the jump. We offer you 20 years warranty against fading. We'll give you a warranty certificate as well to back that claim. We also have concrete products as well, so it's not only roofing. We've introduced other products. We have our concrete products, we have our blocks.
So that's the situation. That's how it went down in Tema for the second mini clinic of the EcoBank Joy News Habitat Fair. And we are looking forward to the third and final clinic before we head to the main EcoBank Joy News Habitat Fair. Buy a house and then make it a home. And your place to be is the EcoBank Joy News Habitat Fair. And there's more when you log on to myjoyonline.com. We're also learning that the Ghana Police Service this afternoon questioned Kwame Asare Obeng, popularly known as A-Plus, over his social media rant about having crucially information about the gruesome killing of investigative journalist Ahmed Swale. We'll give you more subsequently. Nana Ansakwao is coming up next, all the way from the UK. And tonight we are talking about sector by sector. That's our topic. You want to stay? I am MFA Pau. Have a good evening.